previous warning found from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall unto temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Bob, thank you for that reading. Dave, thank you for the songs. John, for the well-worded prayer. Good morning, brethren. Good morning, friends. Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to see everyone this Lord's Day morning as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Turn the Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading this morning from that text that Paul addresses the Ephesian church. Great text. I love the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Lot there. But it is good to see everyone and once again be back. And a lot going on. As John mentioned in his prayer, the list is long. Those that are ill, those that are sick, that need our prayers, need our help, have a lot going on. And usually that's the case. You have 100, 110 people, there's always going to be a few that we need to tend to and look after. And let's do that as brethren, as we should. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verse 3, beginning verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined, he predetermined us to adopt him as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to his purpose, to work all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory in him. You also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of your inheritance with the view of redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. What a reading. What a reading that is. And here we are. We find ourselves in the throes of the holiday season. We just did the turkey dance for Thanksgiving there last week, and you all know what that means. It means that we're on our way to that day. Christmas holiday is going to be here with the tree and everything. You already got the tree up? Who's got the tree up? Okay, well, there you go. Really? We got some folks already got it up. You're already ready. Kids' performances at school coming up. All those plays that we used to go to, and the gift buying, the present buying, the gift purchasing, that's going to be going to go on. Family gatherings and all the traditions that go with that. We all have those family traditions during this time of year. Most of us do. And before you know it, you turn around once or twice, it's going to be New Year's Day. We're going to be looking at a brand new year, 2017. Will be here. I'm getting old. That sounds funny to say. 2017. That sounds funny. Yeah. But we're in the middle of the holiday season. And as I thought about a lot of things this past week, as I always do when I'm down in North Carolina, it occurred to me that there are some things that I think that during this time, and of course we surrounded the Thanksgiving table, and again, we're right in the middle of all this going on. It occurred to me, I believe there are some things that we need to remember during this time of year. You know, this time of year, this season, it's not an easy season for everybody. And I think there are some things that all of us, maybe we think about it and meditate on, but there are some things I think sometimes that are spiritual struggles that we have during this time, and especially during this time, because we think about the holidays, I want us to remember and ponder on some things, and I thought about three or four things I want to mention to you this morning. So the first thing that I think that we need to remember that our lives, that every one of us that are in this room, that are able to come out this morning, our lives are very good. Our lives are very good. And I think, do we need to remember that? Do we need to remember that during this holiday season? You know, I just think there's a lot of things going on. And sometimes I think we might get a little bit too focused on ourselves during this holiday season. You know what you want for Christmas? You been asked what you want for Christmas? Did mom and dad ask you what you want for Christmas? Did you give them a list? Your parents want to know what you want for Christmas? Did your spouse, has she asked you or he asked you what you want for Christmas? What's on your list, you know? And then, of course, you got folks asking you those things. And then you got all the commercials that we talked a little bit about a couple of weeks ago, about the TV telling you all the things that you don't have, that you need to have to make your life complete. All the new things that are out there. And Best Buy's got it. And they'll help you get it, and you can have it. And then we start looking at maybe what other people get, and what other people have on their list. And you know what? What they get and what they're going to get is a lot cooler than what you're going to get. And a lot better than what you're going to get. So then we might start feeling a little deprived during this time of year. And then we might start thinking, you know what? Maybe my life isn't good. Or it's not as good as somebody else. But you know, for some people, it's not about the gifts at all this time of year. Not about the gifts. And really, it's all about family stuff that's going on. Family stuff. And again, we just had the family stuff, the Thanksgiving deal. And we gathered around the table. And I know a lot of you had the Thanksgiving dinner thing because of all the pictures that's posted on Facebook, all the smiling faces of all the family around all that food. I'm not a pet guy, but I just can't understand posting food pictures on Facebook. I don't know that part. But do you really need to do that? I just know that. But everybody's smiling around those family pictures, and I noticed that. So I thought about, you know, the sad reality is that that's not a reality for everybody. That's not a reality for all of us as we gather around during these holiday days. For some people, there won't be any happy family gatherings because a lot of the folks that they're near and dear to passed on. And it's the time of year when a lot of us feel that most intensely. When we notice that more, that emptiness, that painful void of a loved one that's out. And for that reason, this time of year is hard. And you know, maybe it's not because some of our family members have died and gone on to their reward that we feel that this time of year. Maybe your family won't get together because your family don't want to get together. And if you would collect all your relatives and have big Facebook pictures, you might show each other stabbing each other with a fork. Things a little bit different, and you're walking on eggshells and pins and needles and hoping that maybe if y'all got together this time, there won't be a big blowout. Maybe that's your guess. And so we get on Facebook, though, and we look at all those happy pictures, and we see how, and I'll say it's Facebook because that's what it is in those times, and we see how all those other families get together and how nice it is, and then we think, well, you know what, maybe I don't have to get it. Look how much fun everybody's having. And so that's why I think we need to remember that this holiday season, that no matter what, my first point, all of us, every one of us in this room, our life's good. Our life's real good. And I'm going to put the shift on that, 1 Timothy chapter 6. You might just mark your Bibles there, where Brock was, but put a ribbon there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, what are you looking at? But notice what he says in verse 6. But godliness, he says, actually, he says, is a means of great gain and accompanied by contentment. He says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these, he says, we shall be content. Now look at that. How does Paul say that? If you have food
If you have shelter, if you have clothes on your back, if you slept in a warm bed last night, if you have a roof over your head, what Paul's saying there is your life's good. And that's true for all of us. Our life is good. I look at that. In fact, the truth is, if we have anything to complain about, and I didn't hear anybody say, you know, I had a pretty rough night last night, I'm getting hurt sleeping out in the yard. Nobody said that. And we didn't get up this morning and nobody wondered, you know, I wonder if there's going to be something to eat. We didn't think about it that way. The worst thing that happened to me this morning, I forgot to get milk. And you know what I had put on my cereal? That soy, silk, junk, Genie Buys, almond stuff. Awful. It was awful. And then I got to looking, and if you didn't get that special stuff I like on my almond, so it's going to be a tragedy. Did I? That's my biggest complaint. And I'll tell you something else. When I got home, the thermostat was on 62 degrees. All right, and Salty set it there. And you know, she burns up. I freeze. It's usually off then. Women are always cold. Every woman in here is freezing to death all the time. And I think all of you, you're cold 364 days out of the year, and I think you fall out for about an hour in mid-July. But that's the only time. But it's the office at our house, and she always goes behind me and sets that thermostat, sneaks in and drops that bad boy. And I never know about it till like 3 o'clock in the morning when I wake up and just freezing and I see my breath by the light of the winter moon coming in. And I go out there and it's 50, you know. Why? What'd you do? Well, that's my complaint. And you think about my life. You think about what I just complained about. I don't have any complaints. My life's good. It really is good. And I'm not trying to make anybody here feel bad for what we have. That's not the point. That's not what I'm saying about our abundance. I love it when I hear of my brethren that prosper and do good. We rejoice with each other when that happens. And you know, I look at our abundance and I think about our abundance, but what do we say about our abundance? We say we're thankful for our abundance. We're grateful for our abundance. Why? Blessing from God. God found favor in us. There's no doubt about it. Look at verse 17 of chapter 6. He says, instruct those again who are rich, all right, present this world, not to be conceited, not to fix their hope on uncertain riches, but on God who richly supplies us with everything that we need. Richly supplies us with everything. As you look at that, do you feel guilty for the things that you have? Good. That's not the point of what Paul's saying at all. He's not saying that do you enjoy the things that you do have, that you've been given? You need to. And in all of that, enjoy, they're a blessing for God, but he does warn us here. Notice what he says, verse 18. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good work, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of that which is, he says, life indeed. Yep, there's pitfalls there. There's a pitfall or two in abundance. All of us have been guilty of some things that we should do because we all have an abundance. And all of us have fell into that every once in a while. But there's no sin in having an abundance. There's no sin in having an abundance. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad for what's happened. I'm trying to say this. Whether or not you have a happy family gathering or not this time of season, when you think about it, or whether or not you're going to find something really cool underneath the Christmas tree, or whether you don't find something really cool, your life's good. Your life is very, very good. And I think we need to remember that. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. I want to say something to the young people in this class, in this audience this morning. I want you to notice this verse. It'll help. Mom and Dad, you might want to help them get to this. Verse 7, Proverbs 20, verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons, the New American Standard, must say children. How blessed are his children, he says, who follow after him. Now, there's something that every kid in this audience needs to know. And you need to understand that, and really, I know something about you that even if I never met anybody here, any young person, anybody in the teen class,
If I've never met you before, I know one thing about you right now, and that is your life is very good. You have a great life. And I know that because the reason I know that is because you're here on a Sunday morning in a church building where all your buddies and friends are gearing up and putting makeup on, getting ready to party hardy, called Tip the Season. And it's time to go do that. But no, you're here. And the reason that you're here is because your parents cared enough to get you to come here. And you have parents that are righteous and they're concerned about your life. And they want you to serve God. They want you to love God. They want you to honor God. They want you to bring glory to God. That's why you're here. If I never knew you till this morning, I would say that you've got a good life simply because you're here and your parents brought you here. You know, I think that takes time to figure out what a blessing that is. And to appreciate what a blessing that is as a young person. Because you know what? As you go through your life, your young life, and some of us realize it before others, some a little later than we should. But to appreciate the fact of the things that are being taught and instilled by example, by your parents, and by those that are here. That the things that you're being taught, you might not know it, but they're going to help you make good decisions. They're going to help you stay out of trouble. They're going to help you avoid a lot of pitfalls that a lot of folks that you know are going to fall into. They're going to help you be with people that you should be with. It's going to help you choose somebody that you're going to live the rest of your life with. That you're going to make decisions that affect the rest of your life by being here. You might not think it now. But I promise you, every young person that makes their way through life will realize it at some time. And you know, it'll help you. This will help you live a life that matters. And that you will die in peace. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that aren't dying in peace. And when the Lord comes and I answer for Him, you know at the end, on that last day, I'll tell you what, you're going to realize that your mom and dad instilled in you the very thing that does matter. You'll know that. I don't know what anybody's going to get under the tree. You know, I don't know what their gifts are going to be, but I know if you've got a mom and dad that are trying to live righteous, and they're trying to instill that in you, to be righteous, to serve God. I don't know anything about you, but I know this, you got a good life. You got a really good life. Still haven't talked about things that are important, have you? And you look at Ephesians chapter 1. And again, what a great epistle that is. And these are the things that Paul lists here that are really important. And he opens a great epistle with that. And really, that's basically what he does in Ephesians 1. He celebrates the riches that we have in Christ. And he just lists them. He just goes. And you can read them for yourself. I will read them again. He just goes line by line about the blessings that all of us have that are in Christ Jesus. Every one of us. And what I want to tell you this morning is that if you're in Christ, you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you're a Christian, you own this list. It's yours. This has been given to you. These blessings are yours to enjoy. And this, brethren, is the stuff that matters. To be delivered from sin. To have a relationship with God. To be promised eternal life and inheritance. These things in Jesus Christ, they are really what matters. What's been given to us. And if for only that reason, this, I'm saying, my life's good. My life is good. Anybody here going to be left out of that? Anybody here left off this list? One of the funny things about kids, and we all done this, and my kids did it. They get in their yard, Christmas morning, the presents are everywhere. The wrapping is going off, and you're enjoying that moment, and the kid brings out the thing you bought, and looks at it, and goofed around with it for a minute or two. You go in the kitchen and get a cup of coffee and come back. You don't even see what the thing you bought. What you doing? Playing with the box. Doing the box thing. Spend all that money on the dumb gift. And the box will get a lot cheaper, you know. But you know why kids do that? Because they don't know the value of anything. They don't know the value of what was in the box. We're not children. Folks, we need to know and recognize what real value is. We need to know and recognize the true value of being in Christ and what that means. Don't let the holidays get you hung up about what's in the box, about what the wrapping paper looks like. Don't do that. We already know what really matters. And we already have what really matters. Do you see it there in Ephesians 1? Do you recognize it there? Sometimes we put on the poor man. Oh, I've got it so bad. I've got it so awful. This is how poor we are. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how poor you are. Rich, the true richness is in Christ. And it's right there. The list of our lives are very good. What's the take home? I'm very thankful for the blessings that I have in Christ. And only in Christ. I'm thankful for that. And because I'm thankful for that, and I recognize that, and the abundance that I have in that, my life's good. My life is good. I want to say something else about that, but I'm going to miss you on the outset. That it's really about what we've just been talking about in point one, but maybe a little different direction, a little different angle. Not only is my life really good, but during the holiday, I believe that all of us need to appreciate that there are a lot of people that have a lot less than what you do. A lot less than what you do. You know, all of us, well, I can only speak to myself. I walked 8 miles and 4 feet of snow when I was 3 feet tall to go to school. We all have those poverty stories, don't we, when we were young and small? And I recall those a lot. I do. I think about those times in my life. I remember the outhouse out back. I remember that. I remember the hand-dug well and the hand pump on top of the well, always cold. I remember the water going into the buckets. I remember the buckets being carried into the house, put on a wood-burning stove to warm up the water, pour in a wash tub, take my bath. I remember that. I remember we had 3 light bulbs in the entire house, in slumber, tall paper house. Now, the only light bulb I could reach was in the kitchen. No switches. Climb the kitchen table, in slumber, painted white. Pretty cheapy furniture we had. Stand up on the kitchen table, and I could do the half twist and turn it on. I burnt my hands a million times reaching up there to turn it off. Didn't need to, just wanted to play with the light bulb. So that's how that was. And I remember those things. And what jolted my memory, I guess, in recent times, when I went to South America on a mission trip, you know, and seeing firsthand the circumstances that were down there, it was a flashback for me. When I seen what I seen, and it's interesting, folks down there all essentially have the same thing, you know what it is now. And when you compare it to what we have, they really have nothing. And what impressed me, when I came home, the most powerful impression from the trip, without hesitation, is that these people have nothing, and how grateful they were for what we gave, and we thought nothing about what we gave. I never gave it a second thought what we gave, because it was nothing to me, because I had an abundance of what we gave. To sense that, for me to realize that, really was a return to Appalachia before Kennedy. And I remember those things. You know, I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to set that thermostat on 72 degrees. Right? I'm going to set it up. But you know what? There is 1.6 billion people tonight that don't have a shelter, that don't have a home. 1.6 billion people. You know, maybe, I think about that little house over there. It's got 3 bathrooms for 2 people. Maybe it's awful to share this in a Sunday morning sermon, but you know, 6 out of 10 people in the world living don't have access to adequate sanitation facilities. You know that? I'll go home tonight. I'll switch on the light. And I might turn on the Mac. You'll go home, get that big screen TV all lit up. And certainly when I go to bed, I'm going to plug in all my stuff. It'll be fully charged tomorrow, won't you? Get everything all charged up. And then I think about those people in Sequoia, South America, More than half don't even have electricity. Thank you. Tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll start my day by checking my email, look through headlines, go to Facebook a little bit. More than half the people in the world don't have access to the internet. 2 out of 10 people in the world, 8 of them do not have a computer. I can't get my mind around that sometimes. I need to. And I could go on and on about those illustrations. For the place in your mind, how good you have it. How good that we have it. And I don't say these things to make you feel bad. Because we enjoy an abundance in this country. Let me say it again. We count the things that we have as a blessing from God. We shouldn't feel guilty about it. But we need to be thankful for it and grateful for it. But this reality that the rest of the world that lives with far less than I do, and sometimes I don't even think about it, they live with nothing, should help us draw a line of distinction between what I need and what I want. That's 1 Timothy 6:8. What is it? Food, clothing, shelter. Paul says these are the things that you need. It defines our needs. Right there they are. The danger is making the rest of the stuff more important than it really is. That's the danger. That's what he's talking about. Allowing our wants to turn into our needs. We're going to have this. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 9 that we've read. Verse 10, notice what he says. That temptation, the harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction for the love of money, root of all evil. By some longing for it, wandered away from the faith, pierced himself through with many griefs. That's where we get in trouble. It's not with the abundance that we have, but we decide that the things we want, we need them. That's where we get in trouble. Most of the people in the world, the majority of the people in the world, folks, they get by with far, far, far less than what we have. What I do, my needs are not nearly as great as I think they are. That's the lesson I need to learn. As we go through the holiday season, I'm going to tell you something we need to do. We need to learn to be content. We need to be thankful. And we need to learn to be content. I don't know what you're going to get under the tree. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to get. So I'll tell you something. I'll guarantee you this. Whatever it is, you know what? I don't need it. I don't need it. And I promise you, once you get out of the tree, you won't need it either. I'll guarantee you that, that you won't need it. We should be more content. Another thing about this tree, you know, I think we need to know that life is not all about me. Life is not all about me. It's easy to get wrapped up in life during this time about you. Because of the way things are, and you get focused on what you're going to get. What you get. And I remember as a kid, all the time around this time, start figuring out what you want for Christmas. So that was the time that you got stuff. Then the tree would go up, and then, you know, the packages would start appearing. And my brother, he was a sissy boy. I didn't care what he got. I was, you know, they had my name on it. That's what I wanted to do. I want to hold that and check that out. It's about me. What then that tree is all about me? Well, I want to know what I was going to get. Me. You know, we discovered something when we get a little older. And I never thought I'd have this thought as a kid. I never thought it was an adult. But as you get older, you discover that the giving side is a lot cooler than the getting side. We recognize that. We see that. And I miss the times when our kids were little. You know, about opening the presents, seeing all that happen, you know. That's what grandkids are for. But you know what? Now they're just digging in the way and say, we want money. Which is kind of takes the edge off of it. But I love it when they were little and watching them open the gifts in the morning, Christmas morning, all that. And as we get a little older, we do discover that it's a lot cooler to give than to give. And I think about that, at the heart of that is a much deeper spiritual principle, I believe, that really runs through the thread, it just threads the tapestry through the entire Bible about that principle. I want you to notice in Scripture, Mark chapter 10. Notice what he says, verse 46. You see this all through Scripture. Calling them to himself, Jesus said, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles, lords over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it is not this way among you. But whosoever wishes to become great among you shall be a servant, a giver. That's what that is. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be last, for even the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve. The Lord is the greatest giver, what he said, and to give his life a ransom. Building on that principle, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, notice what he says, verse 3. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, the dovetails perfectly with what Paul's talking about, 1 Timothy chapter 6. You remember? We read it a minute ago. Let's look there again. Verse 17. Look at it again. Richly supplies us with all the things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what? To do good. To be rich in good work. To be generous and ready to share. Be a giver. Look at the theme there. Look what it says. About giving. Not about getting. And I think we'd be a lot happier this time of year if we just understand that principle. That it's not all about me. And it's not all about getting. But it is about giving. I'm going to tell you something. The most unhappy people that I know, and I know them, are selfish. Selfish people are the most unhappy people I know. I need to remember the holidays. Folks, I need to remember I need to be a giver. Not a getter. Let's unpack that a little bit. And you think about that. You know, quit worrying about the gift that you're going to give. Quit worrying about what you're going to get. Now, as a young, you know, if you're a young guy or a young person, you're thinking, hey, look, I'm off the hook. This isn't about me. I don't have any money and I don't have a job. So I guess the easy thing I could say is get a job, get some money. I could say that, I guess. But then, you know, there's other ways to give. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you all of them. In the next few weeks, you know, you're going to have people over the house. You're going to have family over the house. You're going to have food. You're going to have all this stuff. Just what you can give. Mama, you're going to love me for this. You need to get up after the meal. And you need to go in the kitchen. And you need to say, Mom, what can I do to help? Yeah. Mom, let me do these dishes. Let me pick up this message. What can I do? Yeah.
Amen.
Truly spoken by one that knows. Be the giver. There's a lot of ways to give. How can you walk? Your mom will appreciate that more than anything you'll ever buy her tomorrow. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But you know, we sit around here with brethren, folks that have been given the greatest gift of all. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. And just that text in Ephesians 1, and really, that inheritance that we're going to give, isn't that the greatest gift? It is, right? It's the greatest gift. And we've been given that gift. I think about that every day. But I think also, what are we supposed to do with that gift? That gift that has been given to you, you know what we're supposed to do with it? We're supposed to share it. We're supposed to share it. Matthew 28, verse 19, go make disciples of all nations. And you know, so this time of year when you're thinking about giving and getting, you know what? There's a lot of people this time of year that think about Jesus Christ that never think about Jesus Christ any other time of year but now. This is the only time they ever think about Jesus. But what a time to talk about Jesus, because that door is open a little bit. And it's time to talk to people about, you know, Jesus is not just about that card that you got with a baby on a manger. Jesus is about a man on a cross dying to reconciliate the world of their sin, which you are. What a time to explain to somebody, this Jesus is about the man on the cross that died for your sins. Because that door is open. We need to share the message. We need to share the message of salvation. What a gift. You could give someone I don't know what's under the tree for you. But I guarantee you this, it doesn't matter. It does not matter, whatever it is. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. It's going to get old. You're going to lose it. 5 years, you're going to forget what you even got this Christmas. What'd you get for your birthday last year, Brent? There you go, forgot already. See? You're going to go back 5 years. Brent told us, I'm the same one. I don't even remember. We're going to forget all about it. So whatever it is, it's not important. It's not going to be important. You know, ma. You know, ma. Talk about that, what Peter said. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what Peter said. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to reveal in the last time. I'll tell you the great thing about God's gift, brethren. It never grows old. It never breaks. It never gets worn out. We don't get distracted by other things because of it. And the gift of God, the truth is, as the years go by, you know what it does? That gift, instead of forgetting about it, that gift of eternal life grows more and more precious to each and every one as we grow older each day. It becomes more valuable to us. And what we do, we anxiously anticipate that day when we will receive that inheritance. What a gift. What a gift. I'll tell you something about that gift this morning. God wants you to have it. God wants you to have that gift. And you know what? The good news is that God, through Jesus Christ, has provided that gift for you. He has allowed you to have it. We just have to have a willing heart really to receive the gift. Preach it, song book that. Let's sing a song of invitation. That's going to give you, if you don't have that gift, an opportunity to receive that gift. The gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Real meaning, real purpose in life. That when this life is over, that we can be with God in heaven forever. I can think of no greater gift. Can you? No matter what the season, no matter now, no matter March, no matter summer, the door to that gift is always open. It's open for you now. The gift can be yours. Simple obedience to Jesus Christ and God the Father. The Bible's very plain. You want to obtain the gift? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What a gift that the Lord has given. Please come. Let's together we stand and sing.